As we approach the 100th day of Donald Trump's administration, we're checking in with Vermont's congressional delegation to get their take on Trump's first 3 months in office. When Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders ran to be the Democratic presidential nominee in 2016, he ran on a populist message, speaking of a corrupt political process and the need to empower the working and middle classes in America. Donald Trump ran and was elected on a similar message. So I began by asking Senator Sanders if he thought President Trump was following through on the populist rhetoric that worked so well for him in the presidential campaign.
That is the key question, and I think the truth of the matter is he lied to the American people. It's one thing when you have a candidate, a conservative candidate, running and saying, well, I want to give tax breaks to billionaires, I want to cut Social Security or Medicare and Medicaid. That's one thing. At least that person is honest about what he believes. But Trump ran for president, telling the working class of this country he was going to stand with them. He was going to drain the swamp. He was going to provide health care to everybody. Well, it turns out that he has done exactly the opposite of what he promised. You're not providing health care to, quote-unquote, everybody when you support a proposal to throw 24 million people off of health insurance, when you cut Medicaid by $800 billion, when you defund Planned Parenthood, and when you raise premiums very substantially for older Americans. So I think in instance after instance, it turns out that he is a representative of the billionaire class in corporate America and, in fact, does not have the interest of working families terribly much at heart.
But why, then, does he retain such loyalty among the base of people who voted for him? I mean, some recent polls are showing that more than 80% of the people who voted for Trump say they would do so again.
Well, first of all, you're only 3 months into his administration, and I think the more that people learn about what his policies are about, the less support there will be for him. I think the more people learn about what Trump is doing, I think the less support he will end up having. And just as one example, he has proposed a budget which would increase military spending by $80 billion over the next 2 years, despite the fact that we now spend more on military than the next 12 nations combined. And then he wants to cut back on Pell Grants. He wants to cut back on the Meals on Wheels program, wants to cut back on Head Start, wants to cut back on LIHEAP, wants to cut back on programs that are life and death for working families. So I think as the word gets out that he said one thing during the campaign and he's doing the very opposite, giving tax breaks to billionaires, cutting back on the needs of working people, throwing people off of health insurance, I think his support will diminish.
Well, you know, last week you toured with Democratic National Committee Chair Tom Perez. You visited a lot of those areas of the country where Donald Trump did very well. You know, was that message that you're telling us now, was that getting through to the people that you spoke to in those areas of the country?
Look, what can I tell you? You know, we had very large turnouts. We were in Mesa, Arizona, and it was a beautiful evening. We had 5,000 people out, and it was an incredibly diverse group of people, black and white, Latino, Native Americans, who responded, I think, very strongly that we need to come together, that people have got to get involved in the political process. And I think what's going on is that people are giving up in the political process. They're seeing the middle class in decline. They're seeing almost all the income and wealth going to the top 1%. And what this trip was about, and I think quite successfully, whether we went to Omaha or to Mesa or to Salt Lake City, getting large numbers of people to begin to stand up, get involved in the political process, and fight for a government that represents all of us, not just the 1%.
Well, Senator Sanders, you have become a much more visible presence within the Democratic Party, and I think sometimes to the extent that people forget, you're not actually a Democrat, you're an independent. And I wonder, how are you balancing this national presence of going around the country, sending out that message, with your main job, which is really to represent Vermonters?
Well, we had a great, I was in Vermont the week before. And, of course, I get back to Vermont almost every weekend. We have had a series of town meetings, and I have been getting all over the state. We met last week on a very interesting issue with Vermont educators, which I want to follow up on. And, Mitch, the issue is that Vermont does pretty well in terms of the percentage of our young people who graduate high school. We do not do very well in terms of the percentage of our young people who go to college. Why is that? And that's an issue that I explored with about 20 educators, and we will continue to explore. We're doing well in terms of combating climate change and moving to sustainable energy. I had a good meeting with the people from the Burlington Electric Department. They're doing a very good job. How can we do better? How can we be stronger in energy efficiency, moving to solar, moving to wind? So those are some of the issues that I have been working on.
Are you at all hopeful that Democrats can make some gains perhaps in the midterms in 2018?
Yes, I am. I believe that the goal now is to increase voter turnout. And I think what you are seeing, you're seeing that in the women's march that we saw a few months ago. You're seeing that in rallies all over this country, some of which I've helped lead. You're seeing that in local people going out to Republican town hall meetings and saying to the Republican members of Congress, you know what, you're not going to end the Affordable Care Act and throw my family off of the health insurance we finally got. So I think you are seeing an increasingly politically active base. You're seeing working people and lower-income people and women. You're seeing young people standing up and fighting back. I just addressed a group of folks from all over the country here in Washington. We had some 62 people in that room who are already prepared to run for office, and that's what I want to see.
You know, there have been some people who, within the Democratic Party, are still upset that you are an independent. You're not a Democrat, but you have you felt free to criticize the Democratic Party for strategies, etc.
Right.
The Democratic Party, to really have a chance, does need to be unified. Is the party unified right now between those
people?
Well,
the answer is
you know, wanted to vote for
party.
You.
I'm sorry, you asked me that question and I didn't answer it. Here's the story. If you look at all of the national statistics, what you'll find is that people who identify with the Republican Party are at the low end. I can't remember, low 20s, I think. Democrats are doing a little bit better. Most people in this country who declare their politics, they say, I'm an independent. In my view, and far more independents than are Democrats. In my view, if the Democratic Party is to do what it has to do, and that is to expand its base, it's going to have to talk to working people and middle-class people who today consider themselves independents. So I think if being an independent is a positive in that respect, because we're going to have to reach out very strongly to independents all over this country. On the other hand, obviously, since I have been in the Congress and in the U.S. Senate, I have caucused with the Democrats, and today I'm part of the Democratic leadership.
Senator Bernie Sanders, thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure. Take care, Mitch.